Welcome to The Lowdown, KMXT's new daily show dedicated to giving you the up-to-date information we have available on the COVID-19 outbreak and how it's impacting life on Kodiak Island. The Lowdown will focus on the facts as provided to us by local and state officials. During the show, we give you access to local officials and experts on COVID-19 and community actions related to it. If you have questions for our guests, please email them to lowdown@kmxt.org or call KMXT at 486-3181. You can find a list of upcoming guests on our Facebook page or on our website, kmxt.org. Audio from each day's program will be posted on the website.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in this morning for another edition of The Lowdown, where today we're going to be tackling tourism and local businesses again. In the studio today, we have representatives from Seahawk Air, Kodiak Island Charters, and Galley Gourmet Bed and Breakfasts. All well-known locals who've been here a long, long time and who could probably regale you with many tales of the ups and downs of running a tourism business in Kodiak over the years. But today we're going to try and keep the focus a little bit on the now, how they had to deal with the shutdown, what they're doing now, and where they see their businesses going for the rest of the summer, into the fall, and maybe into next summer. You can call 486-3181, try and get a question in, or email it to lowdown@kmxt.org, and we'll try and pass the question on to the panelists here. With that, we'll just, since there's so many of us in the room here today, we're going to go around the room and let you introduce yourself so people can kind of identify your name with your voice. So, Chris, let's start with you.
Yeah, hi. Chris Fiala, Kodiak Island Charters. I've been around in business since 1990 with my wife, Gina, who's also here.
Hi, this is Gina. I'm Fiala, Kodiak Island Charters.
Morning. Roland?
Yeah, hi. This is Roland Ruiz with my wife, Jo Murphy. We run Seahawk Air, and we've provided transportation for lots of hunters and summer visitors, sport fishermen, and for the last 25 years, bear viewing in the summer has been a big part of our business.
I'm Jo Murphy, also with Seahawk Air, and we've been operating since 1987.
I'm Marty Owen, and we operate Galley Gourmet, which was a dinner cruise boat for 15 years. We've kind of backed off from that. We're doing wildlife viewing now. At least that's what we'd like to be doing. And I'll let Marion talk about the B&B.
And this is Marion Owen, and I partner with the boat part of it, but also we operate the Cliffhouse Bed and Breakfast, and we've been in business since 2003.
So, when, Roland, you first walked in the door, you said, well, this is an episode of The Impacted Industry. Industries in town. Yeah. And that surely is. You folks represent pretty much what's happened to Kodiak over the course of the last 5 months. How bad is it?
It's been, for our business, we're down about 85% from what we would call a normal season. Our season begins in April with the bear hunt. Bear hunting's a big attraction on Kodiak Island, and the guiding industry was pretty much 100% impacted this year. I don't know that there were any guides that were guiding hunts because a lot of their clients come from out of state, and we're linked to that for transportation. So we saw a big drop in business during the bear hunt, and it's continued through the summer as visitors for bear viewing have canceled, and it's a kind of a rolling cancellation. As it gets closer to their date, a month or so out, they usually call up, we talk about it, and they cancel. So that's been the feel on us. And we're fortunate because we're not a lodge. Their businesses have been pretty much 100% gone for the season.
So you have a little bit of business left still.
We do, yeah. Fortunately, some local travelers, Coast Guard families that are getting out, local folks that are doing some activities. Some of the local native corporations, the Department of Fish and Game, these are all people that need travel out on the island.
So your biggest challenge come March, when things started to shut down, what was your early indication that things weren't going to be quite normal?
Well, for us, for our bed and breakfast, things were pretty normal until May. we really start to operate our bed and breakfast in May. And we started receiving emails going, well, we're just going to look. We're just going to watch week by week. And I was thinking in my head, you know, July and August will be just fine. But it's not been the case.
It's not July yet.
It
is July. Is that what you're saying?
It essentially is July. I thought it would everything would just sort of go away, improve, and then we'd be back to normal with a capital N. But it didn't happen that way. Particularly, and I can bring this up, is this recent changes in travel. And I just got a cluster of people canceling, going, no, we can't do this. One guy said, and this is from Anchorage. We regretfully decided to cancel our Kodiak trip. We're not high-risk people, he said, but the concerns and hassles of protecting ourselves while traveling just didn't sound like much fun. And that is what the trip is supposed to be about, right? So at the same time, a lot of people were saying, we want to still book in 2021. You know, then you had the issue about you guys take deposits, right? Mm-hmm. That was a big deal, whether or not you're going to return deposits, or some people graciously would say, keep our deposit or apply it for next year. So not only is it we're not seeing the people spending money on the island, but, you know, you've got that influx of cash that happens in the spring that is not there.
Yeah.
Or winter, prior to the season, right?
Okay, so let's talk about the charter industry. I mean, you probably start booking things a year out, right? And you have return customers that have been with you for 20 years, right?
Yes.
15, you know?
Yes.
So when do you start thinking that, you know, you're going to have to make changes on the vessel or the changes in the way you do business, anticipating still that, you know, your business is going to be maybe down, but you're still going to be able to operate. I mean, you got to think that back in March, you're still thinking you're going to have a regular year, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. We basically were optimistic as the other group here, the other operators, but we had the same situation where people just... They can't negotiate the testing regimes that are confusing. And they, so they just, particularly the latest 72-hour thing, they just don't know how to deal with it. So they call up and say, I'm sorry. And similarly, they probably 50% apply their deposit for the next year. Just say, okay, we're coming. Most of my clients are pretty belligerent. They say, we're coming to Alaska all throughout the spring, all throughout, you know, winter. We're not going to let anything affect us. We're coming. But it's been tough. It's been really tough for them, you know, to negotiate it. And as far as the boats, we have to keep the boats up anyway. So that didn't change anything. We had in our particular case, we had a boat get burned over the winter. So we had to fix that. And then we had to put a new deck on or a new roof on one of our boats. So we put out a lot of money this year, about $150,000 to repair, but a lot of that was insurance. So then our standard upkeep, like on planes, is horrendous. On boats, is horrendous, as Marty or Roland will tell you. So we have to do that anyway. So our hope is to break even this year.
You've been in business, though, for 30 years. I mean, right? Somewhere close to that?
Yeah,
and
we have.
I would imagine that what you normally would see during a summer is kind of up and down. I mean, you have good years and you have bad years, mm-hmm. but you don't have fiascos, right?
This will definitely be our worst year if it continues as it's going. Last year was our best year. So you're right. There's a huge boost.
Yeah. So what's available now? What do you have out there that can attract? If you can get a limited amount of people coming from the mainland, is there enough business in the local community to be able to help support you?
Well, my wife can answer that. She knows the percentage that comes from out of state.
Oh, primary visitors are out of state, not local. So we still have visitors that hold on to the reservation. My hope is those clients, they make their way here.
For this summer.
It's still doable for some people. They find ways to come. Majority was discouraged because they said on the website there was maybe 50 question answers, and in few more weeks there was over 200 question answers, and they all kind of adds to the confusion. So they said they cannot deal with that kind of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
But some people say, no problem, we will do the test and we're coming. So I am having confidence in those small numbers. They will make us go through this year.
So as far as the health mandates go for a charter boat, I know you were one of the first industries that was allowed to open back up, right? But they put certain requirements on you to try and come in compliance so that, you know, it was a safe environment to get into. Did you have to do a lot to try and get yourself ready in case the influx of customers actually came?
Well, I'm of the opinion, similar to Roland here and Marty, that being outdoors is a healthy place to be. And when you're out on the open sea, so we look at those regulations, not with a grain of salt, but we basically try and be safe. That's whichever ways we can. But it's been a kind of a ongoing changing scenario for as people try and adapt to this situation. So we haven't let it worry us too much, no.
Okay.
So Chris, this is Marty. Were you considering having your clients wear masks when they were inside the cabin on your boat?
Yes, we've certainly considered that, yeah.
Were you going to require it? That's something that had kind of been going through my head. Should I require that? Outside, yeah, I kind of get it. It's not much of a threat, but...
Well, the main thing is they've been tested when they come here. They've been tested negative, and the people in a family situation, for instance, we have a family going out in a few days, and they live together.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can I say? I mean, I'm personally not too worried about myself, I'll be honest. But I'm really not.
Well, how many people do you have working for you, Chris?
Optimally, during a regular season, we have about 8, because we have 3 boats. We have, at any given moment, we have 7 people working, then one person is kind of, our crew members kind of rotate, because they don't want to work every single day. So we have 2 deckhands on the U Rascal. We have 1 deckhand on the other 2 boats, plus 3 captains. So that total 7.
So that's your internal bubble. I mean, those are the people that you sort of trust that work
absolutely
for you.
Absolutely.
And then
they're great. They've all, half of them have found other jobs already.
Yeah, that was one of the things I wanted. Have you found any relief whatsoever in any of these federal programs or state programs?
My wife could answer that.
We applied the thing. Kodiak economic development thing,
yeah.
And we're in the process of applying another one. So we were really not actively seeking for help. It's the process is a little bit a learning curve, a huge learning curve. It's a little bit discouraging.
So when does the season go for you normally? If it kind of ramps up April, May, do you run through October, November?
No, by the end of September, we're pretty much finished. Although we will take a few inquiry for very unusual situations. So our business is from late May through the end of September.
So do you have anything booked from now through then? I mean, how fast are your cancellations coming in?
It's like Marion Owens in the last few weeks is really fast. Up till now, we have, other than the cruise ship, we have about 30 cancellations. And meanwhile, there are people still inquiring. So that's a little bit very hopeful.
Yeah, because this is a great time to actually come here, right? I mean, the opportunity here with a limited amount of people enjoying what we have to offer is...
It's fabulous. And Scott McMurrin, the travel writer for the Anchorage Daily News, he published an article a couple days ago on just that. Hey, see Alaska. It's a big state. And he highlighted Kodiak and some other places around the state and said, still, you know, go travel in your backyard, front yard, make that Alaska your vacation.
Well, I think that's a focus of a lot. I mean, you have the Alaska airline deals now that are right. going to take you around the state to go see places you haven't gone. But there seems to be a tendency in our community to vacation here because we don't necessarily always vacation here, right? I mean, doesn't it give you an opportunity for maybe offering services to local people that are cooped up here who wouldn't normally do, you know? I saw something yesterday on where a local person said, you know, I just needed a break, so I went and rented a bed and breakfast. I thought that was, like, super cool.
A little staycation on.
Yeah. That was a great idea.
Yep. Yeah, Mike Roland here. Yeah, a special feature of this summer is you can have the whole wilderness to yourself this summer. It's amazing. It's just like you just booked a super exclusive access to whatever your special place is, you know, wherever you would like to go. Or ask your operator, is there something that you guys really like to do? There's some cool place that you never get to go? Let's go there. You can have it all this summer. It's amazing. We've gone out to places where we usually see a lot of other visitors. You know, we might come home saying, gosh, I wish there weren't so many people there today. And this year, you can go to places that look like 30 years ago. When we first started Bearview in the vacant wilderness, you know, out there, you can find it this week. You know, it's like, call up, because everybody can have that exclusive piece of the wilderness.
One thing that we have always done for locals, too, we're a small company. We can't afford to give big discounts. The only discount that we actually give are for locals on our bear viewing trips. Mm-hmm. So we offer every person that lives on Kodiak Island $100 off on bear viewing.
Nice.
And I was recently a beneficiary of that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it feels especially good this year, too, because we know everybody's, what do they say, we're all in this together. It's frustrating to see your season hurt, you know, on our end of it. And for people that are just in the general public who've had other things to do and they feel like their family can't come up from the south this year to visit, everybody's got a level of frustration going on, and we like to be able to help people get out there and do some more fun, distracting things. And of course, as Chris was saying, for general health, we think being outdoors is really good. You know, it's good for your mental health, it's good for your physical health. So that's,
amen to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's something we can all do for each other, is help folks get outdoors some more, encourage people to get outdoors.
So Roland, for those who aren't familiar with Seahawk, you've been around for a long time as well. How big is your operation now? How many people work for you, and how many planes are you operating normally?
Oh, we're just one airplane. We've been that way for a long time. And what are we, 7 employees in a typical season? Joe could speak to that. And certainly, you know, that's been a crunch. Joe applied for the payroll protection plan grant back a couple months ago. So we've been able to keep people employed in our outfit. That feels good. And eventually that will dribble off to nothing, you know, maybe, or who knows what those sort of support programs are going to do. We'd rather not have that. We'd rather have regular business. So like Marion says, we've just been looking ahead and thinking, oh, yeah, this will get normal. And we keep pushing out our horizon. Yeah. It's always a couple months from now, we'll be back to normal.
We're not there yet. So when is the normal busy time for you? Mm.
gosh, it ramps up. 1st of April is the opening of bear hunt. Usually by mid-April it's busy and stays busy till the middle of May when bear hunt closes. Then there's a little pause, and then June picks up to full speed by mid-June, and then it goes, for the air taxi business, it goes right through the summer activities and continues strong till 1st of November hunts, and then it tapers down. The bear hunt tapers off by about mid-November, and then it fades towards middle of December. But yeah, busy from, let's say, 1st of June to the end of October would be the air taxi busy season.
So in your business, are you booked a year in advance, or are you booked, you know, normally 6 months in advance?
Some of each, yeah. Some people book a full year or more in advance for some activities, and some people call up just on a one-day notice. Or we'll call around sometimes. We got a list of people in the office sometimes that call ahead and say, if it looks really nice, call us up. We'd like to go on a bear trip. And Chris is probably similar, as people waiting for a nice day. But yeah, certainly we accept people booking months or a year in advance. And we've taken deposits, as Marion was saying. That's been a big deal this spring. We had a full book of bookings with associated deposits that we all had to resolve. It sucked everything out of our savings account, plus some more, to refund a whole gob of deposits.
So you didn't see the same generosity that Marion saw with, you know, would you say a majority of the people that booked said keep the money or
no,
keep it on
that
the
was,
books?
It was just a few people. Because one lady said, you know, as much as I'd love to say keep your deposit for next year, she said, I'm a nurse down here in Texas, but my hours have been reduced, so I need the money. So I get it. So yeah. I just refunded it.
Yeah.
I sent her a check and a calendar.
Nice. The KMXD calendar? For you, then, it's pretty important, probably, that business return fairly quickly, huh?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't have some sort of a financial cushion. I mean, we do. We have our savings and such, but we don't have a guarantee of employment, you know, in a sense. Yeah, we don't think of ourselves as a normal backstopped business. We've always, as Chris has, just kept our equipment in good shape, kept our plan in shape, you know, all the things that you have to do lined up, you're ready to go, and then we don't stand breathless waiting for the season to happen, but we know that there's some uncertainties every year, and this year it's just cascaded in a way that we hadn't expected.
So I'm curious as to, if you have 7 employees and you've maintained them all, if you're not flying as much, how do you keep them busy?
I'll pass that to Jo. She's a lot more organized than I am.
We're doing a lot of projects that we've put off for many years.
Cool.
She's got some beautiful new picnic tables down there that she and one of her employees built.
That's great. But Chris, you've dropped employees, is that right?
I have 3 boats, and one is the Moonshadow is run by David and John Reyes, and they are working for the Coast Guard right now. Believe it or not, they're running one of those little boats that they do drills with out with the helos. And that's kind of a week-by-week thing, and that's really good. That's really cool. And I do have a captain who's flying in a couple days from now who comes every year. His name is Kerry Owens. Probably a lot of people in Kodiak know him and love him because he's, I call him Mr. Huckleberry Finn, because this guy knows everything there is to know about fishing, more than me. And anyway, he'll be here. And one of my other employees just got a job with Canna, and she's going to be doing interviews for jobs for people that are associated with Canna. She's going to help them. She came with us the last 2 years, and she's, if you meet her, she's a lovely person. Her name is Sarah. She has a Korean name, but her name is Sarah Borneman, and now she's married one of my deckhands. So I'm a matchmaker besides being a... Seriously. But she's working for Canna, and she'll be working part-time for us in the summer. I do have people coming and going, but we're confident that we'll be able to take care of whatever business comes, because we have a lot of people that have worked with us off and on for many, many years part-time. So they're always... We can step up to whatever task happens.
Okay.
One thing I'd like to add too, the PPP loan basically covers 60 days of payroll. Everyone in our business's hours have been cut besides ourselves, who often work for free.
Yeah.
So it's definitely affected. We did apply for the community development loan, and we are going to be recipients of that. And we're trying to keep everyone employed, but you know, that's another thing that has a lot of impact in the community, as people don't work as many hours, can't afford to do what they'd like to do.
Yeah. Let's turn to you fine folks and talk a little bit about what you've been up to. Your business has changed kind of a lot in the last couple of years.
It has. We decided after 15 years that evening dinner cruises on top of running a bed and breakfast was a lot to do. So we took that template of running a dinner cruise to a daytime, a wildlife viewing by day, and then we hire a local restaurant to make nice lunches for us. So, and we've already done some of those for local people and traveling nurses and so on. So that's been great. So a shout out to locals that want to go see sea otters or whales and that kind of thing. We're still here. The bed and breakfast, we've had a few, and Jainan was talking about getting calls. So while we're getting the cancellations, there's still people calling and asking for reservations and sort of a what's up, kind of getting a feel. And the other thing that people are asking is, what's open in Kodiak before they make a drop decision? What's happening? So I think it's important for anybody in the tourism industry to be able to answer that one. You know, what museums are open? Are the trails open? I mean, somebody from California asked me, are your trails open? Because for them, beaches are just now opening, right? Mm. And trails and parks are just now opening. So we've been very blessed here in Kodiak to have that outdoor experience always open to us. So I'm getting a list together and trying to keep it fluid and current as to what is available for people to do in Kodiak.
Restaurants are a big concern for people who are traveling too.
Right.
We don't have much in the way of restaurants, even when they're all open. The ones we have are great, but if one or two of them are closed, or all of them, or you're not comfortable of being in a restaurant because of what might be going on behind the kitchen doors and what might be happening at the next table, might be enough to discourage you from coming to Kodiak.
Yeah.
Our garden hasn't looked better.
Oh, you have more time on your hand, is that?
The garden is beautiful. The boat's in great condition. We've had plenty of time for doing all that kind of stuff.
Our boats are beautiful.
Yeah. Chris's boat is particularly beautiful.
Yeah. Right, it's new.
Yeah.
So what do you normally do? I mean, 2 years ago, what did you actually do?
Mean while we're still doing dinner cruises?
Yeah.
Oh, you wake up in the morning and you hit the ground running.
Yeah.
It's breakfast for guests. It's changing beds. It's cleaning toilets. All those sexy things, and prepping for the dinner cruise that night. Because we do sometimes 100 dinner cruises or trips, wildlife viewing trips, a summer. So imagine, Mike, having 6 people at your dinner table every night during the summer.
It'd be fun.
And oh, by the way, we're going to take you out and see sea otters and all that kind of stuff. And then you do all that and you get to bed at 10:30 at night and start all over.
And hibernate all winter.
Yeah, right. Read a book.
Yeah. You actually make it till 10:30. That's pretty good. Well,
I didn't say I was coherent.
Well, the bed and breakfast business must be just brutal.
It is. I mean, it's constant attention, because not only are you taking people in your home and you're feeding them and so on, but you know, you want to make sure they're having a good time in Kodiak. So you're also sort of a recreational director, you know, because, you know, I'm sure Roland and Chris and you guys, you get asked, so what about doing this, this, and this? Oh, yeah. Right. So you're kind of like your own little director at the same time.
We do a lot of entertaining, not only with the bed and breakfast people, but with the dinner crews and the wildlife viewing. People are there to be entertained, and they want to know about how we live, you know, what it's like to be here in the winter time, or, you know, they just have 101 questions, and they like hearing from locals. We had this one very wealthy couple with us one time, and he obviously could have stayed any place he wanted to. And I asked him, so why are you staying with us? I mean, you could have stayed at the best at
or on his yacht that was on its way.
Yeah, right.
His enormous yacht.
And he said, Marty, you know, it's about the people. And he's right. In fact, when we travel, we like to go to bed and breakfast, or we like to go someplace where we know somebody, because then you can talk to the locals. It really is about the people and seeing how they live and what they've got to share.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are our social ambassadors, all of you. You know, you're the first point of contact between the outside public and what it's like for people who live here.
Yeah.
And
I wanted to talk a little bit about cruise ships. That is kind of, it had turned in kind of our mainstay business for the boat, because when a cruise ship would come to town, we'd have two or three trips to do that day with six people each time. And it created some income, and, you know, it wasn't a huge part of our business, but it was significant. And this winter, on kind of the spur of the moment, Mary and I had an opportunity to go to Antarctica on a smaller cruise ship. In fact, it was the last cruise ship that visited Kodiak last summer. And it's new. It had just completed the Northwest Passage late summer. We saw it go by the house and thought it was a rather interesting-looking ship. We didn't take any of their guests out, but a couple of weeks later, I got a call from some friends and said, how about going to Antarctica? And we're thinking about going on this ship that we'll meet in Chile and go across to see penguins and all the other critters they have over there. And so, yeah, sounds like a good idea. So we went. But while we were aboard, which was a very pleasant experience, and we went on the continent and on the Falkland Islands. We got off the ship eight times, got to see a lot of different terrain and wildlife there. But being aboard the ship, it became obvious to me that it's pretty easy to pass a bug around. And, you know, that's why all the cruise ships have disappeared from the planet right now as far as moving people. But I noticed early on in the trip somebody that we sat near when we ate or frequently saw them go through the line had a pretty bad cold. And then somebody else had a pretty bad cold. And then half a dozen people had a bad cold. And then Marty had a bad cold. And we were crossing the Drake Strait. And then Marion got a bad cold. So it's easy to pass it around. They take precautions. They encourage you to wash your hands. But, you know, you see people walking into the lunch line, and they take 3 seconds to wash their hands. You know, it's done, and I think we've all been guilty of that. And then you go through the buffet line, and there's this nice piece of glass in front of you, but every single person picks up the same spoon to dish out their Jell-O or whatever they're going to eat. And I'm not terribly concerned about getting a bug, but I can see how it can get passed around pretty easily. And why people are concerned about it, particularly if they have, you know, compromised health in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of reminds me of, I think it's very important to take care of ourselves, all of us individuals, our health, our mental health. How are we thinking? I mean, check in with ourselves. How are you thinking? Are you thinking really negative? Do you have a lot of fearful thoughts? Are you panicking? Are you stuck on news 24/7? I think it's important, our mental health, which affects our physical health, which people pick up on, and I think it's important to keep that in mind. So when I reply to people who are canceling, I send a little note about whether it's, you know, more than just stay healthy is, I hope to see you next year to enjoy the wildflowers, which are fantastic right now, by the way. And just kind of stay in touch that way, because it really is about the people and our connections and our relationships. And just a little side note is, whoever invented the term social distancing, it's unfortunate. Physical distancing maybe, but the whole social distancing, I mean, talk about a mental warp. I mean, it's unfortunate. So my shout out to stay positive, stay healthy.
That's kind of the relationship building that you do when you're in the tourism business,
though. Right.
It's not social distancing. It's actually social connecting a lot of times.
That's absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's funny. That's interesting to note, because Joe and I are not social people in a sense. We're not always looking for the next get-together with the group or whoever we hang out with kind of thing. You know, we like going outdoors. You could take us out of the city and plop us in the wilderness all summer. We'd be really happy. And fortunately, our line of work gets us there mostly every day in the summer. So that's something that we're missing personally, is a chance to get outdoors. And that we get to do it with other people is kind of special in a way. Just the other day, Joe had an email from somebody that traveled with us 2 years ago. And she said, "I just want to get in touch and let you know how much I remember that trip." She said, "That's one of the three coolest things I ever did in my life." Mm-hmm. You know, these are the kinds of feedback we get. We see people that have never really been outdoors a lot, and they've been planning to go to Alaska. They're real excited about it. They've seen all the beautiful pictures, and they get here, and it's a mind blower. They're completely out of their dreaming in it. They're living it. Mm-hmm. So we miss that. We miss that chance to be in that activity with people for the summer. And it's funny, you know, we don't hinge our whole year on doing that, but that's a special feedback we get from people who visit here.
Yeah, if I may interrupt this, Chris, there's two reasons why people come. And believe it or not, one of the major, probably 50% of the reasons, they love Kodiak. They just love the people here. And it's like their home. I mean, this is really their home. They come every. I've had clients coming here for 30 years, literally every single year.
Oh, yeah, I see the same people going on your boat year after year.
They refused to. They were so disappointed that they couldn't come here, because this is home for them. Mm-hmm. This is the highlight of their life, is to come to Kodiak. And, of course, we have unbelievable fishing. We know that. So there's no place in the world where they can experience what they experience here for that. And they rely on that because they love to eat that stuff all year round. So they are, you know, it's...
You
it's,
send some home with them, Chris?
they got it all figured out.
But have you ever done the math to see how many pounds of fish you actually cross your decks?
I don't want to, because I don't want to be regarded as a killer. I plant flowers to try and even the balance.
But you're good at what you do.
Well, you know, the reality is, we're Kodiak, biologically, I mean, environmentally if you talk about it from scientific terms, it's biologically rich. Mm-hmm. Species poor, but biologically incredibly rich. So people are going to have the experience of a lifetime if they go fishing here.
You know, the concept that you brought up about us being open is really unusual. It's something that I never even really thought about, of us being closed.
I mean, like our trails and...
Yeah, I mean, to be in a position where you couldn't go to a beach or you couldn't go to a trail, it must make their worlds a lot different than what we're seeing here.
Oh, I bet. I mean, when I heard this comment, I thought, that would be inconceivable to me to think that I couldn't go walking on our beaches or walk in Abercrombie or go out to Passaic Shack. I mean, wow. Ugh.
Well, we think about what's open I originally was thinking, well, everything's open, isn't it? I mean, we do have some restrictions on where we can go, and it's mostly impacting businesses like you folks and the small businesses that are closed. But for the most part, we're pretty fortunate to be where we're at.
Or wise, however you look at it.
Yeah.
I think there's a public health benefit to getting people outdoors. Even if you're all by yourself, you know, down the end of some trail and not rubbing shoulders with nobody, it's good for your health and everybody else you're going to come in contact with in the community.
You can rub elbows with a tree.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about the other end of this, though, and both of you, all three of you, have kind of made contact with the people that come up here for their mental health, and now you're sort of continuing by communicating with them. You're giving them something, you know, hope for the future maybe, but I couldn't imagine being the person in Texas who was really relying on doing this for their mental health.
And it's a really good point, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, then they got cut off from
got
that.
Got cut off from that. Wanted to come to see, to go on the U-Rascal, and now they can't, and oh. Or I'd really wanted to see the Bears, and oh, dang. Because people plan for these trips a long time in advance, not just the booking, because we start getting bookings sometimes before they even leave our property. They say, scratch it on the calendar, and they look forward to this.
Yeah, we've heard that phrase, once in a lifetime experience, expressed by people who've done it. It's not us as a sales angle. It's people describing it as it fits into their world.
Well, and they've been saving for it for a long time, too. They're only going to be able to afford to do it once.
So how do you build your business plan so that you go forward and that we return to some semblance of normalcy? I'm hearing from you, Marty, that, you know, maybe this cruise ship thing isn't a good thing in the long run. If the cruise ships don't come back to Kodiak, you know, is it something we're going to easily accommodate? Your business sounds like it could.
You know, businesses all over the world for ever have had to adapt. I mean, change happens. And you have to diversify. So you hear about big companies diversifying all the time. They buy another company that helps them diversify so that all their eggs aren't in that same basket that could crumble for whatever reason. And this is the reason that came along that none of us had anticipated or expected. And you need to run your business so that you have a little set aside so that you can weather the tough times. If you're the kind of person that can't hang on to a nickel for the time when you have a rainy day, then you're going to have a tough time surviving in an environment that all of a sudden changes. So, you know, we've tried to do that. I mean, we're going to continue to eat this winter. We're going to make our house payments. We're going to make our insurance payments on the boats and the facilities. And some of that help comes through this economic development grant that's a few of us are going to get. We did apply for that, too, and we'll get some help. And if you're not putting all your eggs in one basket and counting on the cruise ships or just counting on catching fish or just counting on the B&B, then you're much more likely to survive financially and not have to totally implode and sell off your assets. Now, that's going to happen to a few people. But I think most of us in Kodiak are small enough and wise enough that we're going to weather this just fine, and we'll come back maybe looking a little bit different or a little bit leaner, but I don't think it's the end of the world at all.
Okay. Short term, though, you're looking at a return to maybe something next year or maybe something at the end of this year.
That changes daily.
It changes daily,
doesn't it?
She's
right. It does. It changes daily.
I think it's looking more like next year.
It's
I think it's the travel restriction.
Yeah.
The travel restriction is huge, right?
It's huge. Mm-hmm. People cannot deal with it.
All three of you are actually hearing from people who are saying that the travel restrictions are just make it too difficult to come here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of unknowns for them traveling. The COVID thing is one thing, but all the other restrictions that seem to kind of be in flux really spook people, and understandably.
And just as Marion said about bookings, we're getting a lot of calls about people that are interested in booking for this season, but almost none of them do in the end.
Right. They're sort of feeling it out. But then the reality is, oh, yeah, we have four flights to get here. And like one person said here, we're just concerned about the exposure along that trail to get to Kodiak.
The other thing that we're looking at is no ferry service.
Right.
And got down from all the Raven flights to one Alaska Airlines flight a day. Mm-hmm. People look at that and they say, well, there's no way I can get there and get back. No flights on the weekends. So just having the transportation not available to get to Kodiak, they may be able to get to the mainland, but for people that come to Kodiak, it's an extra step.
Well, it looks like there's hope in the future, you know, if the ferries actually wind up meeting their schedule, and then Alaska is supposed to add that extra flight in the middle of July, so that may add some. Is there, I have a question from somebody wondering about what you feel about bringing visitors in from outside, from outside of Alaska. I mean, do you feel it is a prudent time for people from down south to be traveling to Alaska?
Oh, well, we certainly encourage them to come if they feel comfortable, because we feel comfortable. On the personal level, you know, Joe and I are healthy and we get outdoors and do our thing, so we don't feel that our health is threatened by hosting people from otherwhere. And we ask them, have you been sick? Have you been close to someone who's been sick? We screen that way, and then we expect that they'll be through the screening process, the testing and the travel restrictions and all that stuff. They're going to come through quite a few hurdles and screens before we get exposed to them. So that on the personal level, I don't feel that we're at risk. And it's a personal choice for them. We can help them as best we can to understand what kinds of things they have to do to get here. And we can commiserate with them on their loss of opportunity or difficulty of getting here. But certainly, yeah, we're encouraging. That's all the message we put out is still a good time to come. Actually, it's probably a better time to come than most seasons. They'll have a high-quality experience.
Yeah, I was recently blessed with getting to see my grandchildren who live in northern Alabama, because all their school activities and all their summertime activities were canceled, and they finally had a week when mom and dad weren't working and the kids were out of school and camps were closed that they could come to Kodiak. And one of their activities, of course, was to go bear viewing with Seahawk Air. They had a great time.
They loved it. They loved Kodiak. Really,
we got thank you notes the other day that were pretty special. Yeah. With this one little 11-year-old guy, he says, during these dark times, seeing those bears was just the best thing in my life.
Well, you know, I can't tell you that I think you people being involved in the tourism business have just a wonderful attitude, I think, that probably helps you get through this whole thing, right? I think being in people that are engaged in the outdoors and living here in the midst of the beauty that we have, it just changes your whole attitude as to how you live your life, right?
Well, it's either a half a cup of coffee or a half full, empty cup of coffee or half full. So I prefer to keep it half full in my attitude, because you got a choice. And people pick up on that when they call you. Oh, no. Or, yeah, hey, it's great. You know, it's the bears are out. The fish are here. Wildflowers are blooming. I think it's like fresh air for people.
The other thing we can offer at the B&B, too, is we have a separate entrance and three separate rooms and a separate eating area for guests. And if they want to be completely separate mm-hmm. From us and vice versa, it's easy to do for us. That's not always the case with all B&Bs, because everybody's kind of built a little bit differently, but ours was purpose-built, and if somebody wants to come here and just isolate, they can do that.
Yeah.
But and if somebody wants...
Well, I was going to say, you bring a good point, is that people who are doing these activities with us are usually in a good mood. We don't have... Yeah, well, that's great. I've thought about that sometimes. You know, I get a little perspective when I'm feeling exhausted and worn out, and it's just another day, and I've ground down my last, you know, wick, you know, and I realize, you know, we have special customers. They're not coming into like a car repair place and things are broke, you know, or they're not going to a state agency because they have to by a deadline sign up for something or fill out a form, and they're not going to the dentist and it might hurt or something, you know. They're coming because they're happy, they're jazzed, and they're going to go do something fun.
Right,
you
right.
know? So we get a special slice of the public as our clientele.
So for a local that wants to help out, this is an opportunity for many of us that, you know, I mean, I'd love to go hang out in your garden and have you cook and do the dishes and sit at the fire and stuff. So those kind of opportunities are open, right? I mean, you've got more bear viewing opportunities now than possible in the past, and you get a local discount. You know, a lot of people here don't do the charter thing unless, you know, they want to show off to their relatives that are coming from out of town. But this is a great time to go fishing, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievably good fishing right now, I'll just tell you.
Says the killer.
That doesn't mean follow me around, but...
Hey, when I want to catch a fish, I go with Chris. or
Carrie.
Yeah, right.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you coming in today and talking. Best of luck to you in the rest of the summer, and hopefully the fall will be spectacular, and next summer will be even better.
Great. Thank you,
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, right. Mike. So.
All right, you guys have a good day.
You've been listening to The Lowdown here on KMXT 100.1 FM and HD. We're also streaming on the web at kmxt.org.